Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed. Sunday NBCC, welcome to this fifth Sunday celebration. I told you I would have something different for you this week, and look, we do. So we have part of the crew here with us, part of the Christocentric crew. And Christocentric talks are just talks, millennial talks that we have with one another. Most of the times we have these talks behind the cameras, behind the scenes. So I wanted to do a Christocentric talk for today's service. I know we're so used to me speaking, or we're used to the kids speaking, but we're in a new beginning. Listen to this. New beginning is in a new beginning. We're turning 25 next month. I'm excited. And so now it's time to step into some new territory. Now it's time to go a little bit deeper into who God is. And so, look, I want to say welcome again, and I want to just introduce everybody. To my right, we have Minister Lori, we have Lady Pilar, we have Ezra and India, and these people have been really working behind the scenes to make sure that you all see us every Sunday live. So I just want to say thank you all for your help. So let's jump right into this. This series was 2021, right? And so if you kind of got what we were going with this series, before we start, let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for who you are. We pray, Lord God, that this, Lord God, talk will open up hearts, Lord God, and it will cause fresh ideas to come. We thank you, Lord God, that people will be able to glean from this talk, glean from the different perspectives. So, God, we thank you that you move everybody out of the way and that you allow us to not speak from being right, but speak from the truth of who you are. So we thank you, we love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, like I said, this series was 2021, and it was a really fun series for me. And so I wanted to conclude the series with doing like a perspective talk on the different Sunday topics that we talked about. So first week was 2021 with God, right? 2021 with God. Second week was 2021 Accord. The third week was 2021 with one another. And the fourth week was 2021 Essential Thing. And so let's jump right into this, you all. And let's just kind of just dive right into this. So I want to ask you this question right here. And I want everybody to kind of chime in. And I'm just going to kind of just sit back. I'm just going to be like the narrator. I'm going to just sit back and rest. And I'm going to allow y'all to preach today instead of me preaching today. So how do y'all like the sound of that? It sounds great, doesn't it? Sounds great, doesn't it? So 2021 with God. So in the current climate that we are in the current era that we are in, what is your take on the importance of having a relationship with God and being one with God? What's your take on that?
I feel like so far in this year, 2021, there's been a whole bunch of chaos, and having 2021 with God just emphasizes the need for stability, spiritual stability, to be able to be firm in your faith in God to get you through all of the stuff that's going on around you. It can be pretty distracting to hear it, see it on a constant basis. There's always breaking news, always something new. But to stay focused on God is to really just hone in, you know, on the quietness of the spirit and listen for what God is telling you to do. So I really, you know, encourage myself and for everybody else to focus on taking the rest of this year. If you haven't, and you know, been focusing on everything else up until, you know, you watch this video, that's fine, you know, but take the rest of this year to, you know, take 2021 and allow God to be the head and you follow him so you can stay focused and work on the things that he set in your heart to do. So that's what I've gotten from.
That's good. I like that.
Just to piggyback off of what Lori was saying, having a relationship with God, Him being your focus and not everything that's going on, and through that relationship, having discernment, because I think that's an important thing to have right now, because it just seems like everything's up in the air. Anything could happen at any moment. We're in a real uncertain time in American history. So everybody's not dealing with it well, but for a lot of people, 2020 was one of their best years. And I feel like the main factor in that was your closeness with God, the degree to which, you know, God had ruled over your life. It kept you from a lot of unnecessary anxiety, from a lot of unnecessary panic. Just kept you from a lot of things. The one thing that I kept thinking about during that time was just Psalms 91. That's just something me and my family, that's just something we would meditate on a lot way before this pandemic. And it hit different. As we say, it hit different after that, but it's like it made so much sense. It was like, oh. So it was like, you're like, oh, okay. I kind of like mentally was preparing myself for this whole time. So it was like, yeah, having a relationship with God is definitely a jewel to have. It's definitely goals, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely the wealth, the true wealth that you need. Yeah,
I'm reminded of a scripture that says, he will keep thee in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. A lot of times, people are in anxiety because their trust is in a man-made system. You know, their trust is in, you know, man-made things. And so that man-made thing fails, and then their trust fails. Their trust in man fails. I got trust issues all the time. I don't trust nobody. I got trust issues, because you're putting your trust in the wrong thing. But when you put your trust in God, when you take your mindset from putting trust in man-made things and putting your mind on God, then you have peace. That's a passive understanding. And I think that's what a lot of people wanted in 2020. And I believe that's what a lot of people are going to want in 2021. They're going to want that peace. You know, and so that peace, I tell you, that peace, you know, I'll just be honest with you. I'll just be transparent. At the beginning of the pandemic, I was really kind of worried for a second, because I was like, okay, church about to shut down.
Yeah, for a split second.
You know, for a split second. And then God was like, whoa, now, like, why are you stressed? And he just, 2020, he kept everyone around us connected to us safe. He let nothing come nigh our dwelling, you know, and so that's a beautiful thing. So yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, once you get a hold of peace, you'll do anything to get back to that peace again. And you can feel yourself slipping. For example, let's say that you're going through a period of peace, and then something happens and it knocks you off of your path. You want to seek the face of God again to get back to that peace. Once you get a taste of what God has for you and what he can do for you, just from his power, his peace, his just understanding and knowing who you are, and knowing your life from beginning to end because he created it, you're going to want to give everything to him and let him guide you. So, I think that was pretty much it. I hope for a lot of people for 2020, just piggybacking off of what you guys were saying, is that it was a lot going on. It was scary. It was, I mean, and it's totally human to be scared, you know, and be unsure. But it also gives us an opportunity to be reminded of who God is, even, you know, when we are experiencing grief, or even when we are experiencing loss, or just whatever. So
that's good.
So I learned this term today off the top. What is it?
Don't play at my top.
Don't play with my
don't
top.
Don't play with my top.
Okay.
Pardon with us, Generation Z, please. Please don't. Oh, these boomers. Yeah, please.
Okay, so don't play with my top. Can y'all? Yeah, okay. Which means stop messing with my head. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't play with
my head.
That's
what we agreed on tonight. Yeah. Okay. And I think that that's an important concept when you think of 2020 to 2021, 2022, every year to come, honestly. Because if you watch the news, listen to the news, it's good to be informed. Not saying don't be informed. But when you get inundated with information that just consumes you, you become overwhelmed. And that overwhelmness draws you away from any point of peace, like Laura was talking about. And the thing that I try to remember, and I hope that I can share this and somebody takes it, is that the only constant thing is change. We're going to always be changing on earth anyway, because God is the only constant thing, period. And if we remain focused on that constant, which is God, then the rest will just flow away. Our relationship with God is the thing that matters. It's a thing that pull us through. It's a thing that keep us still sometimes. It's just really the point to really ground yourself in. And I know that's easier said than done, but the thing is we have the tools. We have the Bibles. We have the people. We have the internet. We have multiple ways to get back to God when you feel like you have gotten too far. So if you remember that constant is God, it makes the rest a little bit easier.
Yeah, and you said something that really kind of stuck out to me. 2020 was really a year of being still and knowing that God is God. Like that's what it really was. It was like God, like this pandemic did not surprise God at all. God wasn't like, oh, pandemic in the world, 2020.
My bad, y'all.
My bad. Sorry. I'll prosper y'all next year. But he prospered us. He prospered us. Even our soul prospered. Even we were in good health. And so it was really, we had to really just be still and know that God is God. And we always hear that scripture. We always say, be still and know that God is God. But 2020 really tested your stillness and whether you could really quarantine in your house or be locked in your house. And I know there were a lot of reports of, you know, increased depression, increased anxiety. People don't want to be around their family because they don't like their family, you know. And so it was really a year of just being still and knowing that God is God. And once you are still, see, there's power in stillness. There's so much power in stillness. But we think there's power in doing, power. I got to do this. But there's power in stillness. If you look at the still water, you can see everything in its reflection. When I drive home from the gym in the morning and I'm seeing the sunrise, I see everything on that still water because it's still. It's not moving. It don't got any boats in it. It don't got any alligators swimming. It's just still, so you can see everything. So when you're still, then you can see who God created you to be. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to see who he created us to be. And so that's why I believe it's really important for us to have a relationship with God and to be one with God. And don't think that God is way far, far away. He's right here. He's closer than hands and feet. He's closer than the breath that you breathe. And so
spiritual vertigo. Ooh.
Spiritual vertigo.
Yes, when you're moving too much and you can't see.
That's good. Yep.
Oh,
that's gonna be Lady P. Lars' her initial sermon. Topic spiritual vertigo.
I think that is very good. Yeah. I like that term because I feel like what 2020 showed us, what showed a lot of people, me personally, was that we were suffering from spiritual vertigo. Like, a lot of times when you get in the mode of working or doing something or always being busy, sometimes God got to slow you down. I'm not saying that's what he did with this whole pandemic, and you know, but it was a side effect of the circumstance. True. Like having to be still. And I know that challenged a lot of people. It definitely challenged me because I'm, you know, used to doing things and trying to control things, but 2020 showed just how out of control we are. And the only thing that we can really control is being one with God and, you know, working on our relationship with him. because he's never gone anywhere. He's, you know, he's always been there. It's us that have strayed from him. So I think that, this last year, and I, like Lady Pilar said, like going forward from this point on, like your relationship with God, is going to be the most important thing. It's going to keep you grounded, and just going to keep you grounded, because everything is up in the air right now.
That's good. And that brings me to week two, January 6th. What a day it was, right? What a day it was to be able to turn on the TV. I saw it on my phone. What a day it was to turn on the TV, see the Capitol building get stormed.
Okay, because I was like, what happened?
You forgot already.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I know that.
Shout out to Lady Pilar. Let's aspire to be like Lady Pilar. You're when right. things that don't really matter media. Take up so much space, live rent free in your brain. Don't you got to learn how to just delete it. Just, like immediately, like we
go.
Still in January, and she like, huh?
What happened?
I did not. That's yeah. all.
So January 6th, and the beautiful thing about January 6th, it really inspired the word for that Sunday, because it guys showed me a principle that was in play. People were on one accord. The mob, whatever you want to call the people, I don't really care to call. I want to be like my wife and just really forget about it. But it really taught a principle to us about being on one accord. And we saw it going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
But one accord, when you follow the principles of God, just like the people who were building the Tower of Babel, they were following the principle of being on one accord. So they were going, God came down and was like, if I don't stop them, they're going to succeed. They're going to be up here with me. Like, hey, what's up, God? We built this tower to come check out how heaven was, you know.
They we pulling was, up on you, God.
Right, we pulling up on you. So God was like, oh no, we can't have that happen. And so I want to hear what you all think about. You know, we can talk about January 6th, but I want to hear what you all think about that principle of 2021, or being on one accord with one another, moving like the tsunami.
I think you I think you hit all the bases for it, really. It was really like the Tower of Babel in reverse, almost. It's like they got on one accord to tear everything down instead of building up. But yeah, that was it's kind of like you're in a state of disbelief but not surprised at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like I woke up at 2 o'clock to my phone. And I'm like, oh, they really doing this right now? This is what we doing? This is what we doing. But, I don't know, man. It is what it is. It is what it is.
Ezra, I think it was a good lesson. Like you said, it is what it is. But what it is strength in numbers.
Yeah.
What we learned for sure. Mm-hmm. And my husband always uses that analogy of the raindrop versus the ocean. You know, the different forces between a raindrop can't do much, but an ocean can basically destroy whatever it wants to when it's moving all at the same pace. And I think that that's a major lesson in what we can be as a people, as a group, as kingdom citizens. Like, if we get on the same path, walk the same direction with the same goal, we can transform anything. It doesn't have to be taking down something terrible. You know, we can be doing something great to make some major change. But it requires that think tank. It requires us to all be on the same page, doing the same thing with the same goal.
Yeah.
And the only way you can do that is if every individual is one with God.
That's good. That's good. And that I'm glad you said that, because a lot of times the reason why the people in the church can't get on one accord is because people want the glory. Well, this was my idea. I did this because of this. And if we just said, okay, look, we're going to bring our talents. We're going to sow our gifts. We're going to bring everything that we have and sow into advancing the kingdom. Then when God sees that, he's going to honor that principle, and we'll be able to move a little bit differently. And I want to say this, and somebody may get mad at me about this. Your political party will not save you. I don't know who that's for, but your political party will not save you. Whether you with the GOP, whether you a Democrat, whether you conservative, your political party won't save you. The only one that can save is Jesus Christ. And once you understand that, then you will move from thinking that, okay, well Trump didn't, President Trump didn't get in office, and so I'm going to cause all this ruckus. Or President Biden got in office, we got to move past that. We have to move past that, especially if we're going to see change happen here in this earth realm that we are in. We got to move past who won, who lost. It's not about that. It doesn't matter who lays their head on the White House pillow. God is still God. He's still God. God is still Lord of all. And he still wants us to advance the kingdom. And so I see a lot of divide in the church, because I saw a lot of evangelicals saying that Trump is going to win, and that was the prophetic word. And we're going to do a series on prophecy this year. And when prophecy fails, because a lot of times we say things that God did not say, and then when it doesn't come to pass, we're looking at God like, God, why this didn't come to pass? God like, I ain't never say that. Like,
or we fall off the map like Paul White.
God is not invested into just American politics. He has a whole world. He has galaxies. He has the whole universe, because he's the God of the universe. And so when we understand that God is just not a God of America, that God is a God of the universe, then our thinking will expand, because we have a limited perspective based on the geographical area that we are in. And we have to move out of that geographical limited perspective and get into the perspective of truly advancing the kingdom, which is out of this world.
That was good, because I was going to say, God is not sending African angels to the United States.
Or South American angels. Or
we're guardians of the galaxy.
To piggyback off of what everybody else is saying, is that when you stop focusing on these individual things that are going on, it's a million things. Again, it's about saving souls. It's about your relationship with Christ. And it is about your individual relationship with Christ, because only you can answer for yourself when he calls us. But, at the end of the day, once, you can answer to God for yourself, it's about community and about saving souls and making sure that, we are the godly examples of what he has shown to us, what he has been to us, the example that he's been to us. So, yeah, just, we are one, just like the song that we sang. We are one. We are one one nation of people, godly people. It's about God. It's not about anything else. You can't, say, well, Christians are all Republicans because they have, Republicans have Christian values, or Democrats have Christian values or don't have Christian values. At the end of the day, you can't answer for other people. So it shouldn't even be about that. Your focus should only be on your relationship with God and focusing on what you need to do in your heart and ask God to show you what needs to happen with you so that you can be pure and help the rest of us get together and be on one accord, period.
I would say, because I was gathering my thoughts, I would say it was a lesson on, and we've seen this through history, it's a lesson on what happens when we try to come together on one accord without God.
Yeah.
We are easily manipulated whenever we try to amass in a group setting or in a mob setting, the whole mob mentality, people say people aren't as smart moving in groups, things of that nature. There is some truth to that, because without God, we're easily manipulated. We are really easily manipulated into doing things that we think are right. Just like the children of Israel, when they wanted to get into politics, and God was like, you don't need that. You got me. But they like, no, we want a king. And so he was like, all right. And ever since then, they were suffering because of it.
Yeah.
So it's like now, it's like this is this the end result of 200 something years. I don't even know if we've been, have we been, yeah, it's been about 200 years of politics. Is this the end result of that? Is this the fruit? Is this the fruit of that?
Yeah.
Like, what are our goals really here when it comes to, like Jared was talking about, our geopolitical leanings, our being with the GOP or the Democrats or whatever you want to call it. Like, what is really the point of all this? Like, really, I think that's what we should be asking ourselves now. Like, if God is not involved, what is the point? And we should be questioning folks who use God in certain ways to push certain ideas in the political sphere. Like, yeah. What are y'all really? Because I joke about Paula White, but that really made me scratch my head. And then, you know, when Trump lost, she like, where's she at? Where's Paula White? Like, is it because you didn't call the European angels? Like, what happened? Like,
yeah.
You know, because thing is, like, yeah. people outside the church looking at us like,
that's what y'all do.
Is this a cult?
Right, like,
what's happening?
Like, what y'all got going on? Like,
y'all
so
summoning demons yeah. from the earth.
And
like,
it's really, you know, when you use God in that way, you really using God out of a manipulative fear tactic.
Yeah.
And there's no fear in God. There's no fear in love because God is love. And I want to say this before we go to the next topic. What government is? What I've learned to be government is. Socialism, capitalism, government,
communism,
ugly, yeah, all of that. What's the one that Hitler was?
Nazism.
It's fascist. It's just a failed attempt to recreate what God has in the kingdom.
Yep. Right.
And so we're trying to recreate that, and yep. we're recreating that the wrong way because we're yep. not really putting God in it. We say one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. But do we really mean that? And that's what I really want us to get past as a church. I really want us to really apply the word of God and not just use things to manipulate people. I'm going to send out this agenda on the Republicans, and they stand for this, and they stand for that, and the Democrats, that's manipulation, and God is not about manipulation, and once you put manipulation in church, you have just moved yourself away from who God is, because God is not trying to manipulate his people, God is not trying to guilt trip his people. God is not trying to make his people afraid. And there used to be an era where it used to be, well, fire your brimstone, you're going to hell, this is the God, this, and hell is real, right? But we have to move from a perspective of fear to a perspective of love, which leads me to my next topic, which is this 2021 with another. So we found out, and we found out in 2020 that churches were really divided because one side was like, we voting Republican and Trump is going to be next president. And that's what I saw in my vision. And that's what I saw in my dream. And then we saw another side, you know. And so I want to ask you, how do we bridge the gap of the division and really do 2021 with another?
I'm thinking that the nation, we like to say, you know, there's a separation of church and state, right? Mm-hmm. I think that really doesn't exist. Well, what we say is a separation of church and state doesn't exist because the spirituality of a people, the if you want to call it the religious mind state, the spiritual mind state of a people is directly linked to how they move as a nation. So how we move as a church is reflecting on how the nation moves. So if we're divided in the church, the nation gonna be divided. As long as we divided, I feel like that's to answer the question, that's the only way to get the nation on one accord in a godly way, is if we get on our dean, is if we, you know what I'm saying, if we do what we need to do, yeah. things will fall into place naturally, you know. We wouldn't even have to force it. We wouldn't have to hit nobody over the head. We wouldn't have to fear monger. We wouldn't have to, you know, Bible thump on people. Like, it'll happen naturally.
And it'd be strictly out of love.
Mm-hmm.
So to kind of summarize that, what is it exactly that we need to do? Is it just focused on love and just love one another? Is it correcting out of each other out of love? Is it?
What I was saying is we should focus on getting our house in order.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I'm saying? We should focus on, because as much division as it is in America, it's the same amount in the church. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, we need to get ourselves in order before the country, before we even talk about getting the country in order or praying for the country. We need to pray for ourselves. We need to do we need for real. Like it's bad.
Can I jump in there?
Mm-hmm.
I would say self-assessment would be the first step to me.
True.
Because you can't make change if you don't know where to start. And a lot of us don't look at ourselves at all. We just see everything out there and think we just got it, and we don't. Following self-assessment, I think a decision to make a change. Because, you know, you can see your problem and just be like, oh, y'all deal with it. It's just me. Ain't that what we say?
Right.
Ain't that what we say? So I think a lot of the times, if you work on self-development, then judgment changes too. You stop judging others because you are aware of your errors,
your faults,
of your character flaws. And you can then be more at peace and more graceful with other people's character flaws or faults or whatever they may have. And it causes a different space because now you have openness available because nobody's operating off biases.
True.
So that to me is like a jumble step one. No, maybe step 1 through 6. I don't know.
Yeah. I think like you said, it's all hand in hand. I feel like we have to in order for us to get on one accord, we gotta start somewhere. But I feel like if we all are at a different point or stage in that, we can get to the same page. But I do agree it does have to start with us self-assessing, like, okay, there's something wrong with me, us, something's wrong here, we gotta you know what I'm saying? America, I feel like America's really, we begging for civil rights, social rights, we begging for people to see each other as human beings. A lot of that ain't gonna happen first until the church do it. You know what I'm saying? Until we like, okay, there's something wrong with us, we gotta make this right. So
I think a good starting point for that is something that I've personally experienced is really just taking time out, one, to make the decision to do the self-assessment and then to make the change. But to start by asking God, show me me. You might not like the answer, you know? It's going to be ugly, period, because, I mean, just it's going to be ugly.
We are as filthy rags.
But the goal is, before I point out anything in anybody else, show me so that, and Lord, help me to accept it. Because you can ask God to show you and then be like, okay, well, that don't exist. I'm going to go the other direction.
I don't agree with that.
Right. I don't agree.
You're wrong, God.
And I took offense to that.
And I took that personally.
So, but to ask God to prepare your heart for this self-assessment, say, God, show me, and then make that decision to make those changes. Because as soon as God shows you, he's going to show you a reflection of everything else that you've been seeing in other people, and you're going to be like, oh, I was doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It might have been instead of it being in a pink outfit, I was in a yellow outfit doing the same thing on a different day. But it just goes to show us, as much as we feel like we're different from other people, we are a lot alike. And, I mean, it just, and God will minister to you in that form. When you have decided to let God break you down to rebuild you, that's when you'll be able to give others grace and be willing to lovingly work with others in Christ to help build each other up. And by that time, we're an army of people who love God and who are moving towards the same thing. But the if you don't make that decision to look inward and to accept what God has shown you as, these are my flaws, but Lord, you created me, you knew I was gonna be like this, and yet you still love me through all of the things that I've done, let me get this right so I can show other people who are more than likely going through the same thing how to get to that point, then I think we can like just shoot past the stuff that's happening, all the stuff. So
it's good, and it just goes back to, I'm gonna let you say something. It goes back to vertical and horizontal relationships, because that vertical relationship is really important, because God can show you. But when you think your vertical relationship is with somebody else, it's hard for you to really see you. So
I was just going to say that it probably goes without saying, but it probably should be stated that when you ask God to show you yourself, you have to do it with a willing heart. Like you have to want to see the truth. So you can ask all day. I know a lot of people I've talked to, you know, say I ask God to show me things and I haven't seen them. And the question I always ask is, like, do you really want to see it? Like, do you really want, like, are you really willing in your heart to see what God has to show you? Because I don't believe that God will leave any questions unanswered.
There may be folks who deal with this how I've been dealing with it. Like, it's some folks who are willing to see it, but the way they receive the information is not healthy. You know, I internalize a lot of self-assessing. Like, I'm like, okay, this is wrong with me. Fine, whatever. Okay, like because you know, in the church there is a culture of judgment, a culture of, oh, you're less than. So people aren't really ready or willing to be vulnerable or confess their faults with one another. And I feel like that's another thing we're gonna have to do in order to get on one accord. We're gonna have to drop our rocks, to drop our stones, and to operate with grace, and allow people the chance to open up, really. Because it's a lot of people who know what's wrong with them. It's a lot of people who know what's wrong with them, but it's like I'm gonna deal with this internally myself and never have to. This between me and God, ain't got nothing to do with you. But like you were saying, it's not just vertically, it's horizontally as well. So
the beauty of all of that is that what 2021 with God, if you have that relationship, the way God delivers it is shameless. And it's guilt-free. And I think what people have done is make God look the way they behave.
True.
And so we put judgment and shame on things that God, like, I've been down for that. I've just been that. That's over. I mean, I'm over it. Like, I see it's wrong. We moving on.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but we don't do that. We want to punish.
Yeah,
and we want to make you feel like you got to absolve and you need to, like, do something. And God's like, it's already been done. Yeah. And if we keep going back to that relationship with him and that strengthening that verticalness, then I hate to say this matters less, because it matters for sure, but it in no way matters as much as this matters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what I've learned in the church world, you know, I've been in all different types of churches, Baptist church, Methodist church, Episcopalian church, AME, CME, all of that.
ABC.
ABC. 1, 2, 3, you know me, all of that. Just make sure y'all paying attention. What I've seen is most times people want to administer shame is because they're administering shame to themselves. They feel guilty within. And it goes back to what you were saying. I can only see in you what I know about myself. So if I see something negative in you, then I already see that within myself and I hadn't dealt with it. But when I see something negative in you and I operate from love and I operate from not a mindset of you got to answer to me, because that's what I really That's what I really dislike. That's what really grinds my gears in church is, you got to answer to me. No, you don't. You are not God. You are a little God. They have to answer to God. And so when we understand that, then we won't put shame on people. The same grace that we freely receive, we will allow others to freely receive. We won't be the first one to throw the stone because we will understand that, okay, we've made some mistakes here too. It may not have been the same mistake that you've made, but I made mistakes too, you know. And so we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we have to understand that God loves us and God loves everybody. Yeah. He loves everybody. And we have to move past that. Well, I'm going to shame you. I'm going to guilt you. And you got to do this and you got to do this. And you got to follow all my rules before you can do this again. What? Who put us in God's place? You know, right. And that's what church culture has been. Now, I understand accountability. I get it. Yeah. I get accountability. But when we take accountability as something that, as power, as manipulation over somebody else's life, then we can really hurt people like that. And that's what a lot of people have left the church, because they've been hurt. And they hadn't been, and the scripture says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee, not with hurt and fear and shame and guilt have I drawn thee, but with loving kindness have I drawn thee. We have to really get back to that loving kindness. Like, really, we can't just say, I love you, and then 5 minutes later, we're saying something negative about you, or we're saying something negative about somebody else. We can't do that. That's we're really contradicting ourselves.
But we got to give that up from ourselves, too, because we've learned to do it to ourselves.
And I struggle with understanding. There's a difference between accountability and condemnation.
Yes, mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, understanding there's no condemnation in Jesus. But it's like, we really got to break that, because it's like either you're going to go to a church where they lean in too far one direction or the other. Like, it's either no accountability or it's too much condemnation.
Yeah.
And you like folks like, oh, I'm tired of that fire and brimstone stuff. Let me go over here to the prosperity preachers, the Joel Osteen. Let me go over here where I feel good. And it's
y'all
like,
get us banned from Facebook.
They're going to take this video down.
Copyright strike.
Right.
I mean, it ain't nothing wrong with the prosperity, but I feel like we need
a balance.
You know, it's a balance that's missing. It's a balance that's missing, and a lot of people are struggling with these concepts because that balance is missing.
Yeah. And we can't rely on ourselves to make that balance. That's where love comes from. And
true.
Love it, when you have a godly love for people, that's where that balance comes in. Because, I mean, it's one of them deep-rooted church hurts.
Yeah.
One of them deep-rooted things. I can remember being younger and being told, you got to get up in front of the church and tell them what you did. Like,
man.
Really?
You got to stand on the soapbox and tear yourself down to nothingness.
Do a word to condemn yourself.
Yeah.
And then from that point, it's like, man, I messed up. And I took that through the rest of my life. Well, not now, but, you know, through a long way.
Yeah.
And not realizing other people have gone. So when I went through certain things at different points in my life, it was surprising to me eventually to learn that people close to me have been through this before. Nobody's ever spoken on it, but it made me, not saying that it made me feel justified in whatever mistakes I made or anything like that, to know that other people have done it, but it allowed me to feel human and that, and this person still accepts me for who I am and still loved me through it. Like, hey, I've done that before. Don't worry about it. If you're godly sorry for it, or if you repent, you know, you're not doing it again, it is what it is. We're not perfect. And you can't expect, you know, people to be perfect, because even God said, we are not perfect. We are rooted in sin. We are made from sin.
Right.
So, you know, it's just operating from a place of godly love.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, well, we have an advocate.
We do have an advocate with the Father. Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, what I've seen in church is when you're too religious, that's when you take religion too far, that's when the condemnation comes in. That's when the you got to answer to me comes in. When I just follow the church rules, but not the godly principles, then I don't allow grace to flow through me because I follow the, I got the church rules, I got the church colloquialism down, I got the church knees, the Christian knees down, I got it down pat. I know how to wave my hand when somebody catching the spirit. I know how to do all of this, but do you really have a relationship with God? Do you really love God? Because when you love God, he teaches you how to love you. And when he teaches you how to love you, he teaches you how to love others, yeah. You know, in that order.
And so, you know, the embodiment of that is that, what's that sign that's on 65, go to church or you're going to go to, or the devil will get you? Like, that's the Bible Belt, like, summarized as far as the fire and brimstone, like that.
Right, with a devil and a pitchfork on.
Right.
Right. What are we putting more focus on here?
Exactly.
God
or the devil?
Like
what was it in one of your sermons you was talking about? We're more motivated by losing something.
Yeah, loss aversion.
Loss aversion. Yeah. That's pretty much. Yeah, that's loss aversion.
It really is
personified.
Right. So wow, this is really good. So this is really good. I like this. We have to do this more often. What y'all say? What say ye? I think we have to do it more often because I really feel like a lot of people's minds are being open because you're not just hearing, you know, what God has spoken to me, but you're hearing what God has spoken from these other beautiful minds around me, you know. And so, look, if you want to be a part of the conversation next time, let us know. And because we really had these conversations, we have these conversations with no cameras on, period. And we just be in here talking on Saturdays for hours, you know, just be talking. And but this leads me to week four, where we talked about 2021 essential thing, And that essential thing is health. We learned in 2020 that your health is really important.
Yeah.
Your immune system needs to be strong, you know. And so I want to hear what you all, you know, took from, you know, 2021 essential thing about your physical health. Now, we know it goes without saying that your spiritual health matters, that your financial health, and all of that. But we want to kind of just zero right in on that physical health because I believe that's really, really important. So.
Well, I can speak for myself. Little transparency. I feel like, okay, so being healthy physically is directly correlated, of course, with being healthy spiritually. And I feel like there have been times where I've been in better shape physically and my spiritual life is like in the dumps. Mm-hmm. And vice versa. Like my spiritual life can be great, but maybe I've slacked on, you know, my candy intake or, you know, something. But my goal for, from, you know, moving forward and what 2020 showed me is that it's important that they be in sync. I haven't figured it out yet, but that's my goal.
You're aware.
I'm aware.
It's a start.
Yeah, you're ready to make a change.
Yeah.
I've committed.
That's good. And you said something about sugar. There was a study done on mice, and they were given a cocaina, which is cocaine, or they were even given a choice between sugar. So cocaine, sugar. 96% of the mice went towards the sugar. So that says to me that the sugar is a little bit more addictive than the cocaine and the cocaine.
Yeah.
And so I want to hear what you all think about that. Think about sugar. And
I heart sugar.
That's sweet.
Thank you.
Real
so
sweet.
So sweet.
But I agree, Pastor Jay. Like. Sugar is a drug, and I'm probably like one of the number one sugar addicts out there. I love sugar.
It's okay.
I love sweets. But, you know.
We still love you, Ezra.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. It took a lot to say that on camera.
Yeah, yeah.
This is your intervention.
Right.
This your intervention. Yeah, this
right, sugar.
Sugar anonymous.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting you say that because it made me think of Coca-Cola and how they used to put cocaine in Coca-Cola and now they put sugar in it.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk about that this year. We're gonna talk about how much sugar you drink in an actual drink. You know, we even gonna hit that high fructose syrup, you know. I know it hurts. It really hurts because that sugar, it releases dopamine in your mind. It releases that pleasure. It's endorphin in your mind. It releases that. So it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
You know, we are accustomed to feeling good. We want to feel good. Even when we come to church, we want to feel good, you know. Yeah. So I believe natural sugar is good, but that processed sugar, I believe that's what's really. And did you know that cancer feeds on sugar?
I did not know that.
Yeah,
not
cancer
surprised.
Feeds on sugar,
refined sugar.
But
refined
it's not that surprising now that you say that.
It's definitely not surprising.
Oh, it seems like it's all by design.
But that just goes to show
conspiracy theorists.
Just
I know
processed foods in general, including sugar. It's just all, and it's interesting to see over time how, you know, at one point everybody, you know, here was reliant on growing their own foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
they used to teach us how to grow plants in school.
That too, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Y'all remember that when I used to do that?
Learning about different soil types.
So,
so
what happened with that? I know I got a lot of information on this. I just read a book called Eat Smarter. That's why. So what happened with that? What happened? The government was giving farmers a lot of money, mm-hmm. but then they flipped the script and started giving processed food places a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So it made that's why fruit is so high, that's why lettuce is so high, that's why organic food is so high, is because the farmers have to raise the price because they're not getting that tax cut from the government that they were once getting. And so they flipped the script on that, and so that's why it's so easy to buy a Big Mac for $1 or a filet of fish for $1.
Yeah, because they used to be $6.
And I'm going to buy a Big Mac this year, and I'm just going to just put it in a box, and I'm just going to let it sit there.
No, it's not going to decompose.
It's not going
to
sit in our house.
Where is it going to sit?
It's going to sit at the church. It's not going to sit at our house.
You should put it in like a glass box and say, don't eat that.
Yeah, because it don't decompose.
Because like we had McDonald's like last week.
We did too.
Hey,
let me tell you something.
Look,
about
look.
Elijah.
And it takes when it comes to health, it takes little steps.
Yeah.
You know, because if we try to go for the home run, then we're gonna be like, man, forget about this. You know, and so it takes little steps. And look, we're in this together. And I've learned that when you do things in community. When you learn, you look a little discontented there because you like that sugar, huh?
No.
Yeah, she kind of disengaged, sugar.
But we're in this together.
I am having some ice cream on February the 1st, though. I just need
so
you to know.
I wanted to say, I think now more than ever, we have new barriers to getting your physical health in order. Because, like India said, your spiritual, mental, and emotional health is directly correlated to your physical health. And I feel like another drug we don't talk about enough that kind of prohibits you from getting on that path is social media. Mm. Social media is another drug. And social media has people trying to live up to unrealistic expectations. You know what I'm saying? It has you viewing yourself negatively, mm-hmm. you know, if you let it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think that's something else we need to talk about.
And since we're being transparent here, since Ezra said he loves sugar, there used to be a point in my life where I post a post. And that's not now.
Wait a minute.
Sugar.
I was about to tell you.
Can I even finish my point?
I just want to hear this.
Can I finish my point?
I don't know. Pilar about to go
I know,
off.
Right? I can't even finish my point. She don't know what I'm about to talk about.
I was about to take off running.
Right.
there was a point in my life where I used to post things on social media, and if they didn't get a certain number of likes, I would delete the post. Hmm. I wasn't saying anything about sugar.
I wouldn't think you was talking about sugar.
Yeah. But yeah, that's...
I'm talking about social media, because sugar would be me, social media would be you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Anywho, before I was greatly cut off by my beautiful wife, there used to be a time. Sorry, we're gonna get back to you. But there used to be a time. But now I'm past that in my life where I don't have to rely on social media to give me self-esteem, because my self-esteem is not found in social media. My self-esteem is found in God. Yeah. So let's let Lori finish.
Does she have something to say?
Something about
I
sugar.
Had a comment.
That was three conversations ago.
I know. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I felt you needed to finish a while ago.
I
just wanted to say that I think it's about small steps and consistency. Either way.
Amen.
Set reachable, measurable goals.
Amen.
Because it's easy to get excited about something and make a bunch of plans.
Yeah.
But if you can't follow through, then what's the point?
Yeah. Not working out. I'm never excited about that.
It's about small steps. That is a really good, good starting point.
Don't despise small beginnings.
I think about the end. I always thought about the end before I thought about how I'm going to start something off. I'm like, okay, I want that body. Or I'm going to lose 100 pounds or, you know, just. 25,
and end up thinking yourself right out of
pounds,
it.
Even 10 pounds. I'm like, man, if I can just get past two, then I'll be okay. Or if I can, like, even with, you know, the pregnancy, it's like, you know, they tell you you're supposed to have a certain amount of water per day. And I'm like, can I get through one bottle? Can
right. One like, bottle, four please? Bottles. Can I do two?
But yeah.
Hey, man, we ain't got to say all that.
And right. Also, like, now we buy the little 8-ounce bottles. But I realized if I can make it through one of them, like four of those 8-ounce bottles, then I've already had, 32 ounces that day. And that's good. So it's about mind over matter. Don't let your mental trick your actions. Like, just start small. It is achievable if you make small, achievable goals. Once you achieve those small things, then you can gradually graduate to the next thing.
And... Not to cut you off, I'm sorry. One second.
I'm going to let you finish.
And I think here's a novel idea in the church. We should put our health in God's hands. We should trust God more so with our health, because one thing I've learned, there is no one thing like a diet or whatever you want to call it that'll work for everybody, because everybody's different.
Yeah.
And God knows you better than anybody else does, so he knows exactly what you need, you know what I'm saying, for your health. Not to say, you know, you shouldn't start somewhere, but I feel like wherever you end up should be in God's hands, you know what I'm saying? Like, you shouldn't be trying to follow what everybody else is doing, because that might not work for you.
And that's so true. I mean, one is not a one size fit all,
right?
You know, and so that's why different habits work for different people. And so, me, I love the gym. I feel like if I don't work out 60 minutes, then I hadn't achieved anything. Somebody else may say, hey, if I work out 5 minutes, then
15.
I've
achieved something. You know, so people always ask me, how you go to the gym so much? And I was just like, I'm an extremist.
Yeah.
So I'm either all in or all out.
Yeah.
There's no in between.
Hallelujah.
So I always encourage people, you know, start with 5 minutes. Start with 2 minutes. Commercial break.
Yeah.
Do you some sit-ups. It's almost mindless. You do 1 minute of exercise, you like, oh, let me do two. And then that's how you build. That's how you build. We're gonna talk about, you know, habits this year. And, you know, the right habits. Make sure you make the right habits. Make sure you choose the right action, because if you choose the right action, make the right habits, then you're gonna be successful in the end. So we always think about the end, and that's great, but 50% of the goal is just starting.
Yeah.
You know, so you start with the right habit, start with the right action, you'll be good.
Yeah.
So. I think that's cool, because it's kind of like what you were teaching us before. I think this was last year about meditation. Mm-hmm. And most people are like, I got to sit in this quiet space
for
even like 30 minutes. And what am I supposed to be doing? Like your mind overtakes you. Take it 5 minutes at it or 2 minutes at a time just to take just a moment to yourself, just to stop whatever you're doing. Take a moment, and then you'll see that time grow because you're going to need it just to have some stillness in your life.
Yeah.
And it helps you to focus, you know, on other things. Gradually, you'll be able to shut a whole bunch of stuff out that's unnecessary. And it's just like training your body to, you know, take in less sugar or take in more vegetables. I know people say they don't like water or they don't like vegetables, but these are things that are essential to your body. And, you know, the one thing God says is to take care of your temple.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible for taking care of your temple. And everybody is different, which, you know, I'm glad you guys said that because all of us are not built the same. Taking care of your temple might be different from how somebody else does, but make sure that you are doing what God has ordained you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to say these three things before I forget. One, I try to practice this principle. Say no to something, say yes to something. So let's say I tell myself no to the Twix, but then I need to say yes to something to replace it. And that way, it kind of tricks your mind into thinking that you're still getting that satisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I don't eat the whatever I want to eat, then I do eat some celery sticks or some pita bread or something like that, so I still feel good. And, I, you know, you don't get that dissatisfied feeling that would stop you from doing that thing again.
Hmm.
And it's been pretty helpful for me. Two, Ezra, you were talking about putting the health in God's hands. And I always think about that because we put everything else but our bodies in God's hands. And I don't know why we do that.
Lord, please help me. I have student loans I need. Please put it on Biden's heart to forgive us.
And I mean before death's door, you know, like we get to praying when somebody knocking at the end, but we don't seek God for the wisdom for what to do with our bodies beforehand.
Yeah. True.
And because I can say Lester can do, we could do the same thing, and he done lost 7 pounds, and I lost zero.
What?
Like, I mean, but hey, let's not start
talking about that.
She's also carrying a baby, though.
I'm talking about now. I'm talking about before.
No,
now.
I know exactly. What she's talking
about. Pastor, don't.
He can wiggle his left toe.
Right. And he lost 5 pounds.
See, we done got them started. See,
right?
Our metabolisms are different, ladies. We cannot help that. A little poverty goes a long way, and a man would be skinny. I can't help that.
So, but what I was saying is, like, I can't expect what I do and what he do to create the same result.
True.
And so I feel like having the wisdom that only God can give you to look at your body and to think about what you need to do for you is super important because, you know, Lord can have high cholesterol and I can have hypertension. We can't have the same diet to fix our issues, so it doesn't work the same. And the third thing I wanted to say was that I didn't realize how important health was really until 2020 because I really think the only reason why I got pregnant was because of my diet change because I had did quite a bit that should have equaled a baby, and it did not. But the moment I started listening to some health plan podcasts and doing a little reading on how to live better, but the moment like we really switched how we approached eating and living is when I was able to conceive. So it's like your body is made to function a certain way and to digest a certain way, to do a certain thing, and if you don't put your body in that position to do so, then you can't get the fruitfulness that we're supposed to have from it.
We just kind of let you all know what we did. We cut our meat intake by 50%, and we actually, if I can tell the story,
sound like it's coming.
We actually were expecting right after we got married. No, we had no shotgun wedding.
It was September.
It was September. We got married in June. We found out in September, but that baby transitioned. He's in God's, or she's in God's hand, or they in God's hand right now. But when we changed our diet, we 50% cut our meat. So we were eating nothing. We were eating meat for lunch, but for dinner we were eating like vegan style meals. So like veggies and
lots of work.
Lots of work. It's a hard diet to do, and I would love to recommend it, but I would say it's hard to recommend because it's so much work to do. And I had a great wife
I was waiting.
I know, right? What you gonna say? But I had a great wife who helped us transition into that cutting out, you know, meat intake by 50%, and you know, we're expecting
and dairy.
Dairy too.
Dairy is a big one.
Yeah, that dairy got, you know,
it carries a lot of mucus, a lot of fat.
And what we noticed when we did that is we cut down on our mucus, and now when we eat cheese, we know because the mucus buildup, you can feel it the next morning.
The top and the bottom.
You know, and so yeah. But I want to let you all know this, and we're gonna try to end on this because we've been going for an hour, and I know that's pretty cool, huh?
That's crazy.
That's pretty crazy, huh? But I want to just drop this little nugget on you all that I learned. If you eat two servings of leafy greens a day, it will reduce your brain age size. So basically, they did a study. People who ate two servings of leafy greens a day had brains 11 years younger than their age group, or something like that. And so I want to
brain function.
Yeah, it was like 11 years younger. So that means it was a little bit more vibrant, a little bit more healthier. Don't be emoji facing me right now.
No, because I'm thinking. Yeah. It was
an emoji face. But if you can incorporate that into your diet, it'll really help you out. If you can incorporate, you know, I've been taking omega-3s lately, and when I tell you they've helped me, because, you know, I work out real heavy, so I'm not as sore when I take these omega-3s. Omega-3s are basically fish oils. Or you can eat salmon. You can eat fish that's high in omega-3s. That'll really help you out. And so, yeah, and it helps with brain functioning, you know, with Alzheimer's, with dementia, you know, on the rise. You know, we want to make sure that we're making the right decisions with our health early on, so we don't have to be like the woman with the issue of blood paying for our health. You know, we want to be able to be in good health, prosper physically, prosper financially, prosper relationally, emotionally, mentally, all of those areas. We want to make sure there's balance. We want to make sure we guard our heart in that. So this year we're going to be talking about that more. I know it's like a hard pill to swallow, you know, especially when it comes to that sugar, because I love cakes. Have y'all had nothing bundt cake yet?
Sorry. Yes, they've been around for a minute.
What?
Nothing bundt cake.
No, what is?
We'll go.
Okay.
About to change your life.
Right. Let's get healthy, but we'll do a bump of that caffeine before we get strict.
Right. Tried that confetti cake.
Just a little bit, right. Just a little mini one, right?
We'll do a farewell, you know.
Right, we'll do a farewell tour, right? But here's the deal. Anything is good as long as it's in moderate. Yeah, that confetti one, that's the best one. That's the best one. They got a red velvet bundt cake with chocolate chips.
It's the confetti one.
The confetti one is good.
Do they got a lemon one?
Yeah, they do have a lemon cake.
They
got a carrot cake.
All right, so we're gonna close out. Yeah,
let's go ahead. Yeah, I feel like we're getting off topic.
I know, right? Talk about cookies and cakes. Cookies and cakes.
Yeah,
and
health, but that cake though. That cake.
That nothing
clearly
but
still
cake.
Has
we're
a
going.
Strong
I'm taking the whole church.
Right. Right. Right.
God is still working with right. some of us.
Right. Right. Hey, look, it's an everyday process. It's not a journey. And so it's a journey. You learn on a journey. It's not about the destination. We always think about destination, but it's a journey. You know, even without oneness with God, it's a journey. Even with being on one accord with one another, it's a journey. Even with loving one another, it's a journey. Everything is a journey. And once you forget about the journey and be so focused on the destination, then you just missed out on all the experiences. And I learned that from my great wife. Like, she loves experiences. And so I'm learning now to really just take in the experience and not be so focused on getting to the destination and missing, like, you know, missing the whole journey. Like, I was so focused on finishing my book that I missed the journey of editing the book, you know, finding what I need to do to publish the book. But now, since I'm with a great woman, I'm learning now it's really about the journey.
Okay, you can get some butt cake.
I was going to, can I say one thing? Yeah. So we was talking about meditation earlier. And when I was really getting into walking, I used to, like, you know, I stay on the service road, so, you know the road, you know, when you pass my house and you veer all the way to the right before you get to access over the bridge, you just walking, and so it's just this long road, you know. And one thing that would help me is, like you saying, is to focus on the journey, not necessarily the destination. I see, like, oh, I got to walk all the way down there. But then what I started doing was just meditating on God while I'm walking. And just, you know what I'm saying, just talking to him, just praising him, just being thankful. And before you know it, you know what I'm saying, start going like this. And I feel like folks shouldn't view meditation as a job, per se. Like, oh, I got to, because we viewing meditation as, like, the destination. Meditation is the journey.
It's the journey.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I hope that helps for anybody who has trouble with meditation. Yeah.
And Headspace on Netflix. Do y'all do that? We do
that
sometimes.
What's that?
Headspace. Yeah, they have basically a little mini series now for meditation.
Word.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like,
and it put you straight to sleep.
Yeah, really. I was watching one day that's like, close your eyes, and I closed my eyes and they started doing, like, little guided meditation. Next thing I know, I'm asleep and I'm snoring. I'm like, whoa, what happened here? Like you be out cold because meditation. And another thing about meditation, it actually lengthens your telomeres, and your telomeres are really.
What are those?
I forgot it. But it's good. It's good.
Okay.
It's good.
Is it in your brain?
It's in your brain. So it's good to have your telomeres lengthen, because I think it has something to do with maybe dementia, Alzheimer's, or something like that. Or it keeps your brain functioning the way it's supposed to function. Mm-hmm. So.
Indeed.
Thank y'all. This was real fun.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we went an hour and almost 30 minutes.
Tell them how long you said we was going to do this for.
I did say we was going to do this for 45 minutes. Mm. But, I mean, this is the beautiful thing about conversation.
Yeah.
And this is what I want us to get to as a ministry. Like, I want us to be able to get to a place to where, you see where I didn't have to be like, Ezra, you was wrong. India, you. That's not what it's about. That's not.
You eat
what
too
it's
much
about.
Sugar.
Right.
You're going to hell. Huh?
It's over for you.
Right.
It's not about that. You know, it's about being. See, and this is the community that I want us. And not saying that we don't have this, but this is the community that I want us to develop. I want us to be a community where we can say, hey, that's a good idea. Spiritual vertigo, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, what you said here, that's a good idea. And so when we do that, then that's when we start to really build. That's when we say, okay, well, it's not about me being, when we relinquish the right to be right, we have so much power to really move past any opinions, any ideas, because we're just saying, hey, I can glean from that. And that's what the body of God is supposed to be about. I can glean from you. I can pick fruit from your tree.
Yeah.
And I can be nourished by that. A lot of times we can't pick fruit from each other's trees because we're too busy trying to shame them, trying to guilt them, trying to not allow them to experience grace. But I want us to create that type of atmosphere here, and we're going to create that type of atmosphere here in year 25 and beyond. So I'm looking forward to it. Look, I love you. There's nothing you can do about it, but there is something that you can do about it. My staff told me that they can love me back. And so, look, I love you. There's only one thing that you can do about it. You can love me back. And so, look, thank you for joining us on this live stream today. I pray that something was said that will help transform your life. Go back and listen to the podcast. Go back and watch it again. Make sure you share with your friends and family, because I know something was said that will help cause transformation in your life. So, look, we love you. We'll see you next week. Guess what happens next week? We go back to in-person services. So I'm looking forward to seeing Each and every one of you is going to be up there. I promise you, when you come, you already see the lights, but we got some other things that we're adding that's going to really enhance the atmosphere.
We got
really,
a fog machine, y'all.
Yeah, we do. We do have a fog machine. Spoiler alert. But we got some other things, too. So, look, I'm excited, and we'll see you next Sunday. We'll still be live streaming as well. And so, everyone, have an amazing day. Have an amazing week. And be blessed.